So the other day, Adam texts me.
Yeah.
Says that he's sitting in a parking lot at the vet, had to take his cat to the vet. And the lady
Kitty.
In the lady in the car next to him also has her cat at the vet. They've got to wait in the parking lot. And he said that she is playing Kiss from a Rose by
Seal. Yeah.
By
yeah.
Seal.
Yeah, yeah.
On repeat.
Oh.
So my question for you, Jeff, what is your waiting for your cat at the vet jam?
It's also on repeat. It's Weird Al, Harvey the Wonder Hamster. I used to have a foster daughter who was, you know, we worked over some things, and then I played that for like 2 hours straight, and she had to go back to therapy. So after
Harvey the Wonder,
Hamster. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's about, yes, and that's just that over and over and over again. It gets really annoying after a while. It's kind of like the song that would never end with less thought being put into the production.
Yes. Kind of like this program.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Boom. All right. So I think we got a special guest ready for us today.
So we are going live at any moment now with our wonderful guest, Chattanooga Red Wolves second half hero, Josue Espana.
Hello. How are you guys?
How you doing? We're doing great, man. I was looking at your stats. It shows that you played in 19% of the minutes for the Red Wolves this season and participated in 66% of the goals. And I expect that percentage to hold until the, except for the 19%, but at least the 66% percentage of the goals. So,
yeah, I really hope so too. Hopefully, Obleda could give me a couple more minutes, you know? I'll work my way in though. It's a long season.
So you come in the 57th minute. And 10 minutes later, you've scored two goals and drawn the Red Wolves level. So I think the question on everybody's mind, at least with these podcasters, what was the pregame meal?
I mean, nothing special, you know, whatever the hotel provided us. It was basically just chicken with pasta, some steamed vegetables, you know.
Okay. See, we're trying to put together the tailgating menu, and we've got to know what'll get us hyped up. So that seems like a good menu to go with.
I'm disappointed it didn't have like lobster or seafood chowder or Boston baked beans. I mean, so many Boston options.
Right.
Oh boy, they let you down, man.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was all right. I mean, if it lets me score a couple more goals, I'll keep eating the same thing. So.
We'll have to make sure they do that.
Yeah.
So serious question, as you're on the sideline getting ready to come in, what's going through your mind? What are the instructions that the coaches are giving you at that time?
I mean, Obleda was pretty direct. You know, he said, just go in, try to make an impact, you know, and thank God the best way to do it is by scoring goals. So, I mean, it was pretty exciting, you know, to go in and just help the team out overall.
Now, have you been practicing with rickets on those sweet moves, especially with those assists he gave to you, which I'm sure he couldn't recreate again, no matter how many takes he had?
you know, we were making fun of him, asking him if it was intentional or not. But I mean, yeah, Ricketts, you know, he's a tall guy, so he'll always be at the end at one. So I was just aware to clean up the second balls or something, and thankfully I did.
Well, that was great.
So what's the mood in practice today? You guys have gotten home, had a chance to kind of have some recovery. You're getting ready for that first home opener. What's the mood around camp as you guys prepare for the game this weekend?
I mean, you know, unfortunately we didn't get a win, but the season isn't won in the beginning. You know, it's a long season. We got to take it game by game. And right now we're focused for Saturday, you know, we have to prepare ourselves really well. And one thing I always say is we never lose at home. We always want fans to come back. So that's one thing we can't do.
Well, you guys went from down two, and came back. I mean, that takes a lot of resolve. Do you think that getting behind really, how did that impact your fellow players?
I mean, we're a really strong group, you know, mentally. We, even though we went 2-0 down, I don't think there was one player in our team that was, that would say that they're defeated, you know?
Yeah.
We were always thinking positive, and we knew once we got our first goal, we're going to get the second. And then, you know, once we get a goal, we'll more goals will follow. So I think that's our mentality right now.
How much did you guys feel when you scored that second goal and still had, you know, 15, 20 minutes left? How much did you feel like that third goal was going to come and you guys were going to get the win?
Yeah. I mean, I personally thought we were going to score at least two more, you know. The momentum was on our side. Eventually, we didn't take advantage. But going away from New England with 1 point is like it's huge. So
that is, yeah, definitely starting the season with 4 points from a road trip. That's, you know, you'll take that every time.
Yeah, of course.
So your teammate Markey came in after you, and he's of course a very subtle player, and you never know he's out on the pitch. And he does this crazy footwork. So what was the reaction from the New England players when Markey decided to go full Markey?
You know, I don't think they reacted well, you know. Markey got on, I'm guessing they were tired, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Markey just came out full pace and just, you know, that's the guy you wanted the ball. The guy you wanted to have the ball, you know, because he was creating everything down that flank. And it worked out for him. So,
well, I noticed that on both goals, it kind of came from Markey off to Ricketts, off to you. So that seemed it was like a pinball machine, man. That was awesome.
You know, if it works, let's not change it. So that was our game plan.
So looking back at your career coming to the Red Wolves, I know what we saw was you played last year with LA Force with Jimmy Villalobos. There was talk during the game from the commentator about the fact that pretty much everyone on the team has played with someone else on the team at least one or two seasons or somewhere in their past. How many of the guys on the team did you know when you came here? How big a factor was that in your decision to join the Red Wolves?
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to play with guys you already know. So that's a huge thing. But I mean, everyone from California, basically, I know. So... which is like 8 or 9 of us. And,
right.
You know, that was a huge thing about coming here. I know how they play. I know their mentality. We're all winners and we all want to win. So that was a huge thing for me coming here.
Now, you played with two different NISA teams. You were in Stumptown in their inaugural season, correct?
Yes.
And then you went to the Force. And so how does it feel? Okay, so that transition going into NISA, explain, you know, how it was, you know, to go to a pro league and then now to move to USL League One. What are the differences? What are the changes? What do you think, you know, how would you compare the leagues?
For sure, one of the changes is the speed of play, you know. It's USL One is definitely quicker. Players are really athletic. So that was one thing. Second, I would say it's a little bit harder, I would say. Just because of, you know, it's better players, I would say, too. You know, there are players that train every day and stuff like that. But the NISA League, I think it's a good stepping stone, you know, just to get where you want to, just to, you know, get where you want to be. It's a good place to start, and people shouldn't, like, pass it, you know. It's a good place.
Very cool.
So going into NISA, you also played at Florida International and California Santa Barbara, also working with Fullerton Rangers in the LA Galaxy Academy. So what was something that a coach in your youth taught you that you kind of carry with you today, something that helps motivate you as you go out to train as a professional?
Yeah, you know, one thing that really stuck with me was your work rate, you know, sometimes your talent fails you, but you can always control your work rate, and that would take you a long way if you work hard, you know. Even though your talent doesn't show up to games, your work will overpass that.
So how does it feel to be at a team that's got its own stadium and it's building its training facilities so you don't have to borrow another place and wait for another team to get off?
Yeah, it's perfect, you know. You can go whenever you want, get some extra touches if you need. You can work by yourself. It's a great feeling to have your own stadium, a place that you can call home, you know.
Very cool.
As you guys are training there, you've seen, of course, the, you know, the work on the suites. You've seen the lights go up, all the frames for that big Jumbotron.
Yeah.
You know, how excited are you for this Saturday, that first home game with all the things that are happening at the stadium?
Yeah, you know, I think we're all excited for that. You know, playing under the lights with fans, especially with the fans, you know. Soccer without fans, it's something, it's different, completely different. And well, hopefully the fans enjoy that while we play, you know, because we can't really take enjoy those things while we're playing. But hopefully the fans can.
Well, last year. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say we're excited to watch your goal celebrations in high definition on that screen for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you want us to shout when and obviously, you know, those first two goals were just the first of many, and we expect at least two per game. You set a trend. Every time you get on the pitch, you're good for two. So what do you want us to shout out about you, or what's the chant? What's the Josue chant?
Josue chant. I mean, España's good, you know.
España.
Okay. It's a really unique last name. Mm-hmm. And if you just say that, that's fine with me.
Very good. We'll have to do that. So what was I going to say? It was last year we were there, but because of COVID, we were limited on numbers. Now this year, I think we get to Alex can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we get to sell it out for real.
It
this
was
time.
Just announced today that they are allowed to be at full capacity. So,
yeah. So it's going to be, and they're all rooting for you because they're not going to come from Florida, you know. it's all going to be for you guys there. So I think you're going to really like it. I think you're going to love the fan interaction. And have you interacted with any of the fans in Chattanooga so far?
There was a couple, I would say, at the when we did the jersey reveal. I talked to a couple of them, and they're all really nice people, you know, and we just want to get some wins, you know, out here, and so they can enjoy it. They can come back, and it's a circle, you know. You win, they come back. So that's our plan.
So who's the most jokester guy when you guys are off the pitch? Who's joking around the most?
The most, unfortunately, he's not here no more. But I would have to say Ami. You know, we missed him really much. He was kind of the guy that brought everyone together. And it was always joking around, but
who's Mr. Serious? Very serious.
Serious. You know, it's kind of hard. I don't think there's anyone that serious in the locker room. I guess you could say Chris, the new kid. Chris Zaragoza, you know, the young one. But right. I mean, he's young, so he has a lot to learn. We're happy to help him out, and hopefully, he gets some good advice from us.
Well, it looks like we have a question from a fan. And Adam, could you send that to us? So who has the shortest fuse on the field?
Shortest fuse.
Careful how you answer this, because it could be a long season.
You know what?
I think it is Kay Baker who asked the question. And in the stands, she probably has the shortest fuse.
That is a good call.
Yeah, I know who he is. shortest fuse. Let's see. Wow. I don't know. I can't really say. You know, we're all really competitive, so maybe myself, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
As long as it's not the coach at you. So.
Oh, no, you know, it's that. Yeah, hopefully not.
All right. Well, I've also got a very important question. So, last year, before COVID shut everything down, we issued a challenge to Coach Obleda and Coach Sawcheck for a soccer tennis challenge.
Okay.
And so the two of them were so scared of the challenge, they invented a pandemic so that they could dodge us.
You need to call them out again.
Yeah. What tips do you have now that things are getting back to normal? Everyone's vaccinated and healthy. What do we need to do when we take the field there and play some soccer tennis against Coach Sawcheck and Coach Obleda?
Just call him out. Just call okay. him out. Call him out in front of a lot of people. I'm sure he won't back out.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. That's your work.
Now, I just to clarify, it was Adam and Alex, and I weaseled myself out of that one. So because, you know, there was only the two coaches. So it's going to be Alex and Adam. And the old man, my Medicare is not going to cover it. So
it's all right. You can go in, you know, sub in. And when you're ready to come out, just sub out.
I think all that's right. what we would do the whole time is just keep subbing in and out.
Yeah.
One last question. Our super fan, Kay Baker. Wanting to know is it country music or is it rap, so she can play along with the cowbell and inspire you?
I mean, I would have to, between those two, I would have to say rap. I don't shut off completely country music. I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I'm open to it. I'll listen to it and I'll get back to you on that. But anything else, you know, I like Spanish music a lot, so okay. that could be something.
So that's else. Normally what's in the headphones pregame.
Pre-game, definitely some yeah. Spanish music.
I figured if he had a cowbell, it would be classic rock. So, because you need more cowbell.
And like I said, I'm not close. I don't close anything. I'm open.
All right. Well, we hope you're open this Saturday in order to put another one in the net. Josue, thank you so much for your time.
No,
and
thank you.
We look forward to watching you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. You know, thank you guys. I'd love to do this again.
All right. Thanks for being on, man.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. All right. That was Josue Espana from Glendale, California. And,
not the good Glendale, right?
Well, when I was
is
a kid.
Is there such a thing as a good Glendale?
Not really. I'm from West Phoenix, and we grew up, we were the other Glendale. And now that our Glendale has grown, their Glendale gets to be the other Glendale. So. And I said when he was off camera. So
is that like the other Chattanooga in Oklahoma?
Not quite. Maybe more like the Portlands. Which one is the Real Portland and the other Portland?
Still hold. That's what they should name that Portland USL team.
I think so.
I've been to both of those Portlands. They're both phenomenal. So
yeah.
It's a completely different type of conversation than comparing Glendale's.
Yeah. They're very nice, and they're both overly priced on both ends of the coast.
So as you can see, the handsomeness factor has dropped by about 40%.
This is true.
Now that Adam has joined us, guys, going through the rest of the show now, we've had a chance to sleep on New England from Sunday. Do you guys have any other thoughts from that match?
The first thing that popped in, I probably should have spent more time talking about, was just thinking about the impact of the subs. And they came in, you know, I think Jimmy was really, Coach Jimmy had his mind in, he had a plan. We didn't play poor in the first half, but it obviously wasn't getting the job done. Impressed with seeing, you know, or bringing in Markey, Josue, and Wally. And I don't think I talked enough about how impressed I was to see Wally back on the pitch, and of course with Wally back there as a defensive midfielder, that put Ramos back as a defender, and I think in a better position. So that was one thing I was really pleased with, is thinking about, you know, on the spot he's able to move these pieces around, and it worked.
Yeah, for me, we got a little bit, I think, of an insight into what's coming when Daniel Navarro came on. Mm-hmm. You got to see them slowly set up the planned back line. We still don't have our full team. When Rafa comes back, I think you're going to see a big difference there. I think you also saw a glimpse, and Jeff pointed to this on the Off the Post, of how he plans on using Hernandez this year. I think he's going to be that super sub, and I wouldn't be surprised if him and Espanza continue to work well together. You see those two both being used in that role, because they changed the game when they came in. And so that was, to me, that's the exciting part I take away. The downside that I take away from that is the offsides goal, and I've gone and rewatched it. It's an offsides goal. the offsides goal was a good goal. Like, if you don't call, count the offsides, it's a goal that's going to be scored 9 times out of 10 if the guy's not offsides. Okay. Like, that type of cross, it got a deflection right to their player. Those are going to go in. So I don't fault really anyone other than the ref for that goal. We were very disjointed on the own goal. And it wasn't like a lot of own goals are just someone's trying out of desperation to get a ball away and it creates an own goal. That was worse than that type of own goal. That the two players falling over each other into the keeper, that was just bad. And a big part of that, I think, is Ramos was playing out of position for the majority of that game and the game before. And I wonder if he was not where he was supposed to be, because it was not like it was a corner kick that created that situation. And he was a midfielder and he was all the way on the back line. So I wonder how much of him being there was because of muscle memory and habit of his normal position, and not, he shouldn't have even been there, because another one of our players was standing right where the ball was going and he kind of fumbled over top of him. So my takeaway is I don't expect us to have those type of things going forward happening on our back area, because it's going to go back to normal. And I trust Ramos based off of what he did last year.
Oh no, I totally trust him. I do think he lost his footing, and I have no idea what the ground conditions were. And I think that part of it was a fluke, as it could happen to anybody. You know, I've seen, some of the best players trip over and lose their footing. And if it hadn't been for that, I don't think there would have been an own goal. But I do see what you're saying about him being used to being in that position and maybe overcompensated to get there.
I think, own goal aside, I think he has actually done pretty well in that midfield role. One of the things that I'm excited to see as the players come back is Ricky Ruiz moving back to his left back position that he played last year. He doesn't seem completely at home playing up at the forward position, used to playing at the left back all last season. But to say on the road, we get 4 points, maybe you would flip the results based on who we were playing, but to come away with 4 points and we haven't even really played our best 11 yet, I think that's a very positive beginning to the season for the Red Wolves. And you have a lot of things to look forward to. Scuttlebutt, as I've worked a few sources in the front office, is that there are more players returning, more of these guys like Markey and Wally that are going to be able to play even more minutes coming this weekend as they're getting back to health. So I think that's going to really affect us going on. So looking at the rest of the league, we had the 1-1 draw between Greenville and Omaha. We had North Texas coming from behind to defeat Tormenta 2-1. And then we had the team we're going to be facing, Fort Lauderdale, absolutely stomping Tucson.
Yeah.
So let me ask on that one. How much of that game is Tucson, and how much of that game is the incredibly streaky Fort Lauderdale team?
I want to say yes, and it obviously can't be just Tucson's poor form, because otherwise it wouldn't be 5-1. You got to give some credit to Fort Lauderdale. But, yeah, they are very streaky. I think I heard a joke or – referring to them as using the old Star Trek curse of the Star Trek film. Every other movie was a dud. So like Star Trek 1 wasn't good. Star Trek 2 was amazing. 3 was a dud. 4 was amazing. So it seems like every other game Fort Lauderdale is on. Thankfully, we got them right after they had the most amazing game. So it's like we're picking up after Star Trek 4. And hopefully for them, it's like Star Trek 5. So the unforgettable one.
So at some point, I'm going to get to go, Card!
I'm just not enough of a Star Trek guy to have any idea what you guys are referencing. I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. But if you see their pattern, then it does look good for us, because it seems like they're on and off. And they just had, I think, their best game as a franchise was this last one. So it does, I feel better going into that. Having said that, I am taking them a whole lot more serious than I was a couple of weeks ago when they announced the schedule and I saw that we're facing them for our home opener. I was licking my lips ready to go because, you know, they kind of seem like one of the weakest teams. They may not be one of the weakest teams, but I still think we've got the advantage.
I think a lot of people can confuse social media presence, of which Fort Lauderdale has none. Didn't really even have a logo until a week and a half before their game, as whether or not they're good. But social media presence is not what makes a soccer team good. It's about what they do on your television set. So they're a team that you have to take seriously. They're a frisky team. You know, South Florida is a place where you can find a lot of soccer talent. And they've got players. They've got an illegal DP that the MLS team signed that they aren't allowed to have on their roster that they've moved down to League One. So you've got to keep an eye out for those type of players and keep them managed. But they're definitely beatable. I'm saying it's about 50-50 because I was expecting Tucson, from what I had heard of the quality of players that they were signing, to be much better. But they are off to a rough start this year, and they're, Adam is showing their, they're the only team below them in the power rankings is Toronto, who has not played yet.
Yeah, and the reason I brought the power rankings up and wanted to show these is you were talking about social media presence and how that affects you, how people perceive you. Forward had a last-second victory, which was a good goal, and they moved up a spot. They were at home, and they won their game. That is not shocking. Just let's be honest. Like, that's not a shocking victory. And so we went down a spot getting a tie coming back from 2-0. And I'm like, okay, this is all about social media. Like, Ford Madison is consistently thought of highly by the League One offices because that's how you get clicks. But when I look at this ranking, and I think to myself, Fort Lauderdale at 3-3 is seventh on their ranking. North Texas is sixth. Richmond is fifth. Like, where's their logic on this? Like, they've all been streaky. I would even argue North Texas at 0-2 may even be stronger than Ford or Fort Lauderdale because they've played really good games. If you watch the games, they may have lost them both, like, but they've played really good games. South Georgia at 9. Why are they ninth? Like, New England looked pretty good in their tie, and South Georgia hasn't looked good at all with their four losses. So there's a lot of things about this that just say to you, how much of this is actually playing the field? You're not going to argue with Greenville or Union. They both look really strong. That game on ESPN2 was a really good back and forth game, a really good save from the Union keeper that kept Greenville from winning that game. In all honesty, I think Greenville was the stronger team in the game, but Union held their own, and you got to give them credit for that. As much as I like to not give Union credit for things, I think they've built themselves a team that's going to be around when playoff time comes. Whether or not they end up in the top two, I don't know. I think we've got a good team, and I think you could see one of these other teams, including North Carolina, that could sneak up there and fight for that second spot. I think it's Greenville's to lose at the top.
It's early in the season. A lot of things are, you know, I think Fort Lauderdale has played six games. Toronto hasn't played any yet.
They played five.
No. Okay. Fort Lauderdale's played six. They're 3-3.
So there's a lot going on with stuff that's just, it's just kind of off. And, you know, when you look at the standings, you probably want to pay more attention to a points per game than what the actual table says. If you do that, ourselves and Madison right now are sitting at 2 points a game. We move up to the next level to be kind of tied for third. Everyone in the league, though, besides North Carolina, who's lost their first two games, has a point, at least a point, so far in the season. And so it is, it's a topsy-turvy. It's a lot tighter. And I think that just makes it much more fun for the league than to have, you know, a couple people who are going to run away and hide and everyone else that's got practically nothing to play for. And of course there's six playoff spots up for grabs. So there's even more stuff to be had. And we'll see how things shake out as games even out into the rest of the season.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, because they're trickling in. I mean, as you said, Fort Lauderdale 6. When I was looking at the standings, they're only showing the last five. Sorry about that. And but yeah, they've gotten 3-3, which and no draws so far. That's interesting. And I think that's one of the reasons why Fort Lauderdale isn't rated even higher, even though their last game was really good. And Tormenta, I think, is a better team than their numbers show. Because yes, they have only got the one win, but I think that they were in those matches a little bit more.
So I think, do you guys have any other Fort Lauderdale insights you want to give as we preview this upcoming game?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I was looking back at their players and I'm looking back at last year. Whatever happened to Espen? He was like their hot player. Everyone was talking about him. Of course, I know that the league loved talking about him because his name spelled out ESPN. But he just kind of disappeared, and he didn't seem to move anywhere else. So this year seems to be a very different side for Fort Lauderdale compared to last year. It's like they've got a whole new team almost.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, I think a lot of times with these two teams, you're going to see some high turnover because they're legitimately using them. And I think Miami, for sure, because they're a new team, are using them to find a player that they can put on their bench, a player that they can use that way. So I wouldn't be surprised if we consistently see a lot of turnover from them, at least at first. But yeah, they're a very heavy turnover team, turnover in like players team from the previous year. That's a very accurate statement, which makes them hard to judge. But I mean, yeah. That said, the announcers that announced the games for Chattanooga FC, Chattanooga Red Bulls have been constantly commenting on how much turnover we've had. And I keep laughing at it because I'm like, we've had a lot of turnover maybe on our bench, but there's a lot of returning starters for a third year League One team. Like, yeah, there's only one holdover from the first year, but I feel like we had a lot of starters come back. Like, in theory, if Ricky Ruiz went to left back, we'd have three of our four, you know, guys on the back side, right? We have a lot of our midfielders, like our backup keepers, the same backup keeper, because more and more seems to be holding down that spot pretty well right now. Go with the hot hand. So to me, it seems like the turnover is not as high as they're imagining for us, but for Fort Lauderdale, it's significant. Yeah.
Well, I think some of the ones that we don't have with us, in particular the Celts, were big personalities. Obviously, Hurst was well known to the league. Beatty didn't have the season last year like he had the first season, but when he was there, he was noticed. And so these are guys that kind of stand out. So that may be one of the reasons why they think there's more change than there is.
I would agree with that. So looking at the game coming up, what changes, if any, do you guys think you're going to see in the Red Wolves lineup?
I'm hoping that Wally starts. And if Wally starts, then we can get Ramos back to as a center back and back to his correct position. Kind of wouldn't mind seeing Navarro start, but I think Luna's done a really good job, so I'm fine. If not, I would love to see Ricky back as left wing back. But I think that depends if we have Rafa back. I think we've got the players to do that lineup. That would be the ideal lineup.
Yeah, so if we don't have Rafa back, I wouldn't be surprised if he does see the same thing that we're seeing as fans in needing that speed in the left back. If we saw Hernandez come in and Ricky move back still, even without Rafa, even though I still would prefer him as a super sub. But if you've got Rafa and you're working him back in, I could see him start Hernandez with the idea of bringing Rafa in later in the game versus starting Rafa and taking a risk that he re-injures himself quickly and you have to bring in Hernandez for longer than you want to. So that's the only reason I could see that happening. I think you're right. I think the quicker we can get our back line set to what we actually expect it to be full time, the better.
Yeah.
And so if Wally's ready, I think you're going to see Jorge Luna maybe still be in there if Navarro's not, but I think you're going to see that change made.
I would not expect Wally, you know, he's made one appearance so far coming back from a pretty serious knee injury that had him out for a long time. I don't know that one one time as a sub is going to be enough to get him ready for full time. So I would not expect him to be making a start. I think I like what you guys are talking about with Markey maybe coming in this time. Hopefully, fingers crossed, with Rafa being able to maybe come off the bench and be a spark. The big one I think might be interesting to see is if Blake Frischknecht gets to make the start this time and Juan Galindrez is possibly the forward that's going to come in off the bench. Blake was very active. I think as the game went on, he was maybe trying to force it a little too much, but he was very active off the bench before even Markey and Josue España. And I was impressed with what I've seen and what he's been able to do to provide some hold up play. And so I wonder if that's maybe a switch that they may make in this game to have him as the starter. I think they're going to stick with Mora Mora, like Adam said, ride that hot hand. He's come up with a couple of huge saves that are probably worth 3 points in the standings. So I just don't see how you can pull him for this first home opener.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about Blake. And I think this last match, I think he had the better match. And not that I don't think Galindrez played poorly, but I don't think it was quite the same level as his first match. So it would be interesting to see those places swapped. And I wouldn't mind seeing that.
All right. Well, now's the point in time where we make our painful predictions. Guys.
So I'll go first. As much as I don't really want to go, because I think this could be anywhere, depending on which Fort Lauderdale team shows up, I'm going to go conservative, which I don't normally do. I'm normally aggressive on our scoring. I think it's going to be a 1-0 scraper.
I'm going to go for a 2-0, and I'm relying on the pack really giving this new team a charge. The existing players know what to expect from us, and of course we're going to have more numbers there. I think that's going to give them a big boost, and they're at home. I think that's going to be enough, and especially if we get Rafa playing as well. 2-0.
I am seeing a stadium with lights, tailgating opened, full capacity. People are going to be having a zillion beers, and they are going to be excited, and they are going to be pumped up. The Bryan College Army is going to be down cheering on Jonathan Ricketts, and it is going to be, I'm going to say 3-1. I think it's going to be very exciting, and the team is going to feed off that energy, and I think they're going to put on a show. And our friend Jonathan Ricketts had one just by the post in North Texas. He was in the right spots in the second half in New England, getting the 2 assists. I think he's in form, and I think a goal is coming for him, and I think it's going to be this Saturday.
The hometown hero, that would be – it'd be like – it's like it was scripted. That would be wonderful.
All right. I see you folks looking at that flat earth thing down below. Don't you dare stick around. We have area soccer that we want to talk about. So North Georgia had a big week last week. 3 different teams in the Dalton area winning state titles at their various levels. Cahola Creek, Southeast Whitfield, and Dalton High School, all winning state championships. All with players as part of the Red Wolves Academy. Congrats to all 3 of you.
Very good. Very good. Good to hear.
And Dalton is kind of become even more of a hotbed than it already was. The Dalton College actually has a very good program as well that is actually partly coached by our former goalkeeper coach. And it's impressive what that area is doing and how much the time and energy that is being put in by not only the coaches, but by parents and by those students to really learn the game. And big congrats out to them. I mean, one of those teams actually lost a huge player in the playoff push because he became the first local professional academy signing for the Red Wolves, who was just unable to continue to play in their tournament because of his commitment that he's made to the Chattanooga Red Wolves, and they still went on to win. So that just gives you an idea. Like, you've got a player that leaves you that is of the quality to be signed by a professional team, and you still go on and win your division level state title. That's really impressive.
So there are also, currently happening are the Tennessee State playoffs. So there's at least 8 Chattanooga area schools that I've counted that are involved.
Wow.
This Friday evening, I think it's at 6:30, Baylor and Chattanooga Christian are playing a first round state playoff matchup. That would be an excellent game if you're wanting to go out and enjoy this beautiful weather. That'd be a good way to prepare yourself for the Red Wolves on Saturday. We also have the Dalton Red Wolves are playing tonight as we're recording. They also are going to have another game. It's going to be on the road Saturday when we're playing Fort Lauderdale. But the Dalton Red Wolves are underway. Those games are played at Lakeshore Park down in Dalton. If you have a season pass, you can go to those games for free. I'm definitely, once it's summertime and my son doesn't have an early bedtime, we're definitely going to go down and check out some of those games. So definitely do that. Park City, also part of the Red Wolves family. They don't start till next weekend, May 28th. And then we've got Lady Red Wolves. Let's talk some Lady Red Wolves. Jeff, you were down in Huntsville. Give us a taste. What did you see?
Yeah, it was a doubleheader. The first was a friendly with North Alabama. They used to be called Huntsville FC, but now they're North Alabama SC. Really fun program. They go by the Gravity. And then we got to see the main event with their lady team face the Lady Red Wolves. And if you ever get a chance to watch the Lady Red Wolves, and it's a really fun league they're into, it's nonstop action. And you will not see any kind of Jack Grealish moves where they're flopping all over and just trying to draw the foul. They fall over, they get right back up, and they don't mess around because they're ready to play. It's really impressive just to see them just shake everything off and just run for it. Looked really good, especially on the right side with their right back. And then, of course, with their winger, Carly, got a chance to talk to Carly a little bit. We end up with a 3-0, and it was tromping them. Now they're going to be home. I believe it's June 6th, and it is going to be against SSA, which is the Southern Soccer Academy. And that's going to be on June 6th. And they are wanting to pack the stadium out for that first one. I think their attendance for the highest attendance for the league, I think, is maybe 1500. And so Coach Winter has made a challenge out to see if we could beat that, if we can get more than 1500 fans in the stand. It's only $75 for all 4 matches. And if you want to get a taste this Friday, it's actually, I can't think of the name of the park. It's over by Ingalls Park. The old baseball stadium. They're playing the red and white team, which is it's an exhibition game for fans, which are going to be showing the Lady Red Wolves against the Lady Red Wolves. So if you want to catch that up, bring a lawn chair. I know they'd love to see you there. And I'm hoping some of them are going to be there at the match on Saturday night.
So do we know what single game tickets are?
I don't know.
$5, $10.
I just went ahead and bought season tickets. I was that excited. So they're not that much. And you could sit in any spot if it's not taken. So it's not so you could sit in the if it's not already full, you could be in the fancy seats.
And the other thing to kind of keep in mind with those tickets is kids with any local club jersey on, any local club. So that includes your rec clubs, your other academies. So you're talking Readout, CFC Academy, any local club gets in for free. Kids 6 and under, regardless of if they're on a soccer team, get in for free. So while it is a $75 season ticket, if you've got kids that are playing soccer, it's really only for the parent that you're playing that season ticket. And your kids are getting in free. And as Jeff mentioned, you can sit anywhere in the stands. Go steal some of Kay Baker's great seats that she's got there with the lovely padding. Sit in the middle. We got to do that on the makeup game for the game versus the minor league baseball team out of Omaha. And that was a lot of fun to be able to get a different perspective and sit in the middle of the stadium. So, there's a lot of fun things out there.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. Beth and I had a blast, and it was really, I mean, they were top notch.
So yeah, the it's like the UTC Sports Complex is a wonderful turf field behind Ingalls Stadium. That's this Friday, and I think that game kicks off at 7. Yes. Intramural scrimmage, red versus white game. So probably better attended than the Tennessee spring game. And you can go watch those ladies play against each other. They've got a couple other away games before this June 6th home opener. But the challenge is out. Chattanooga, don't disappoint. Come out and support these Lady Red Wolves. Come get the season game, single game ticket. Check it out. Get the season tickets because all the other games are going to be great as well. A lot of their home games are on Sundays. So there'll be Sunday evenings this summer under the lights. School's out. Kids don't have to be in bed early. Come out and enjoy the soccer. And let's show them that we can support this women's game and break a record.
Yep, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
So moving on, it's time for Alex to air some grievances. So I don't know if anyone saw, Chelsea was playing in the FA Cup, and Ben Chilwell makes a run down the right side to get a long ball, crosses it across, bounces around a couple people, goal scored, everyone's excited, late game heroics. But wait, we've got to stop. We've got to get our little monitor. We get lines out. And, oh, look, this tiny bit of shoulder is just a fraction beyond the defender. And he's offside, so we got to take the goal off the board. Thing is, I understand. I'm not arguing that he wasn't offside. Technicality, if we're going by the letter of the law, he's offside. But now that we're able to slow things down astronomically and use all sorts of technology to try to see the very fine grain of figure out if a molecule of this guy's foot, of the, you know, the shoelace is slightly beyond the trailing leg of the defender. And so because he can score with the shoelace, it means that he's offside. That's really beyond the spirit of what the rule was. And instant replay across all of sports has made everything so hyper-legalistic. It's impossible to watch. It's ridiculous. Adam, I know you're with me because I know that Arsenal has been screwed on this multiple times. Jeff, I'm sure you have stories of your Wolves getting beat by something like this.
Yeah.
And my favorite part about all of these, so today, Chelsea playing Leicester again in the league match. Timo Werner steps his foot to try to seal off a ball and gets kicked in the back of the leg. They don't give the penalty, and somehow VAR doesn't show that it's a clear and obvious error when everyone can see. The foul was called on Timo Werner. Timo Werner's Achilles fouled Timelman's foot, apparently. But somehow, there's no clear and obvious error when you slow that down and show a guy whacking Timo Werner in the back of the leg. So why are we even doing this?
I was having too much fun trying to make you more and more mad throughout that entire thing that I may have missed half of what you've vented on.
Is anybody left? Do we still have people watching?
No.
Shockingly, we do.
Two things with this. First of all, VAR is, Adam is right insofar as that VAR is showing what really happened, and they're showing what the rules are. So the issue needs to be, they need to clarify the rule. And they did that a little bit with handball rule over the summer.
Yeah.
And they should do that. They better do that with offsides this year because it's way off. Second is the inherent problem of VAR, especially when you get fans there, is it puts the whole game to a stop and you don't know if you can celebrate or not. And that is so infuriating.
That does get old. I've mentioned this before to Alex when we've just talked non-podcast wise about this. It reminds me of in American football when we couldn't tell what a catch was because they would go to replay and then you'd listen to commentators argue over what a catch was ad nauseum for years. And then they finally fixed the rule and you don't have that issue anymore, right?
Right.
It's the same sort of thing. They've got to go in. They built the rule for the naked eye of the ref, not the precise eye of the VAR cameras. And they need to adjust the rule to modernize as they've modernized reffing. And I think that's where you have to come at. The problem is, how do you do that for things like the FA Cup, where there aren't VAR in early rounds? Like, do you have one set of offsides rules when VAR is involved and one when it's not? Like, there's a lot more than just change the rule. There's a lot that goes into it. And I don't pretend to be the one that knows how to answer that because I'm not.
I think a very simple way to change the rule that would allow even at the lower levels is instead of if any part of the attacking player is beyond the defender, all of the attacking player needs to be beyond the defender. So if any part of the attacking player is even with the defender, he's onside. So now what the linesman's looking for is, do I see space between the attacking player and the defender? Now I'm going to go through whatever procedure they have for putting my flag up whenever I'm supposed to do that. And when you're slowing it down, you're moving the lines to the other side of the attacking player. Is any part of him staying even with the defender? Because that's where you're missing a lot of these, and it's just going to add goals to a sport where there aren't a lot of goals scored. So to me, that's a win-win. We're clarifying something that's dumb, and we're not taking away someone's joyous celebration because his trail leg, as he's trying to run back onside, is behind the defender.
Yeah, that's what happened to Arsenal. Yep,
that's why I threw that example out there just to get your agreement. I know how to work my my people.
Well done.
So that's that. That's Alex's proposed change. That's so smart, no one will ever listen to it.
But to file that away, we have it on record now. This is an actual document. So this is now documented.
All right. I think now it's time for a Biggles Wade report. You have any fun lead in, Adam? No, you just have the little scroll thing.
Yeah, I'm lazy. Lazy and terrible.
So the FA has released their non-league assignments, and all of our Biggles Wade friends are staying in the Southern League. The one that has been a cause of concern, our friends Biggles Wade United got moved from the Spartan South Midland League to the United Counties League. And they are appealing that decision because it is going to create quite a bit of travel. You know, you may want to think back to days where, the Lady Red Wolves, they're part of the WPSL and they play regionally with other teams that are kind of in North Georgia and Alabama. And just imagine if they had been moved to one that plays primarily in like the Carolinas and the Virginia coast, or they have to go join a league with a bunch of teams that are in Florida. So it's going to give them a lot more travel. That's going to hurt their budget instead of allowing them to stay in that Spartan South Midland League where they're a lot closer, have a lot more familiar relationships and player recruiting and things like that. So,
and the one thing I will say, so I went and looked at there's a Twitter feed where a guy actually posts non-league maps and he updated it. And what's interesting is Biggles Wade is right at the top of the South Spartan Midlands League. And they're a slightly lower below in the United Countries League South. And so the difference is, though, that second league's area is a lot larger than the Midlands League was. And so even though they were at the top of the Midlands League when it comes to area around them, it's a lot shorter distance to the bottom of that kind of regional area versus being at the very bottom of the United Champions League. It's a long drive to a lot of the teams that are at the top of that kind of area, even when you look at it. So, yeah, it's not like they were in the middle of it and they said, oh, we're just going to take this random team in the middle and put them in the wrong area. But even then, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to have a team that has been in there for that long be moved without even consulting or talking to them. It was like, I think, 100 quid for them to appeal it, and they have appealed it, but who knows what comes from that. So we wish them luck in that appeal.
So also, I'm just going to throw this out now before the Champions League final, which I guess is going to be broadcast on CBS. There is going to be a 60 Minutes episode, and our friends Biggleswade United and their chairman, Gillum Belange, who is signed on that announcement there, they've got a segment. They're going to be a segment on 60 Minutes. They our friends at Biggleswade have allowed me to kind of get a sneak peek of what some of it would look like. Gave me the heads up. So if you guys are tuning in to the Champions League final, be sure to tune in ahead of time and see our friends Biggleswade. And just remember, we were all Biggleswade fans long before all the cool kids saw 60 Minutes and decided that they wanted to be Biggleswade fans. Just remember that.
So I'm wondering if 60 Minutes is watching this and getting show ideas. So I think that's what's going on.
It's got to be it.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have anything else you want to cover before we sign off?
No, I got nothing.
All right, let's see if we can do this better this time then. Ready? One, two, three.
Bye. I jumped it, man. I jumped it.